You sure you're not talking yourself out of this?
You're right. The more I think about it, the more I'm disgusted by this.
You have no authority here, Jackie Weaver. No authority at all.
She's just kicked him out. Pay some respect to your pure authority. Don't make a flex, don't do superiority. You're just a speck, and she's got seniority. Jackie Weaver is the authority.
Hello and welcome to the final episode in this series of Jackie Weaver Has the Authority. If this is your first time listening, welcome. This is the show where I'm joined by a familiar face as we answer life's big, unanswered questions. The stuff you didn't realise you needed to know, but you definitely do. I've had a career in local politics, running meetings and dealing with difficult questions, so this isn't too different. This is the final episode of this series, but you can always listen back to previous episodes with people such as Jeremy Vine, Jack Whitehall, Anton Dubek, Julia Bradbury, so many lovely people. So, today's guest is a special one. He went viral with his drumming rendition of the BBC News theme. He is very Welsh and always looks dapper. It's Owain Wyn Evans. Owain, thank you so much for joining me for my podcast. It really is a pleasure to meet you this afternoon. I just wish we actually had video because you look extremely dapper.
Thank you, Jackie. Well, you know, just something I threw on for today, darling. I've got a dusky pink sort of suit on. I have a pocket square. I love a pocket square. By the way, it's lovely to see you. Thank you for having me. This is fabulous. The weird thing that I've got used to over the years, you know, is I just get dressed up now as if I'm going to someone's wedding every single morning.
Well, you never know. I mean, as you're walking down the street, somebody might actually jump you and say, please come along to this wedding straight away. We need witnesses. You're ready for the photographs and everything?
100%. I'm ready to go. So, you know, I'm just waiting for that to happen.
Well, without wanting to sound like your mother,
go on.
You do look very smart.
Oh, thank you.
And I wouldn't say overdressed at all.
Well, I'm glad you said that, Jackie, because, you know, I like to dress up for an occasion, and I do consider this an occasion.
As you know, the purpose of these podcasts is actually to answer some of life's more challenging questions.
Absolutely.
And actually, during the series, some really tough ones have come up. And today is probably not going to be any different, so
really?
I do have to just check. Do you feel you have the authority to answer these questions?
Jackie, I feel that I have the authority today.
Well, we'll see about that.
Yes, we will. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Right.
Okay, now we're going to start gently.
Okay, that's good. I'm glad.
Because I don't want to frighten you off.
You're so considerate, darling. Thank you.
I know. Well, you know, I almost feel like you're a member of the family.
Oh, bless you, Jackie.
I don't know if this is Dave with a stutter, but he's down as Dave.
Dave, nice. Okay. Hello, Dave.
That's like kind of like so good they named him three times.
Yes, that's true. Well, I've got three names, so maybe he's like Owain Wyn Evans,
yes, of course.
But he's Dave, you know? Maybe this is where Dave's parents were coming from. Who knows?
Maybe his next brother's called Dave.
Yes, that's true. And they just keep adding a Dave.
Yeah. So, Dave, his question is, should pineapple on pizza be a criminal offence? I mean, obviously it should be an offence, but should the offence be criminal?
Do you think it should be an offence? You see, oh my goodness, the face tells me that you and I are polarised on this issue. Because, you know, Jackie, I'm just going to be honest with you because, you know, we're honest with each other.
I feel we can be.
I feel like we can be. This is a safe environment. And I don't mind the odd slice-et of pineapple on my pizza. Apologies for that.
It just, you know, and then, you know, you see, you worry me with the whole slice thing. I mean, have you ever tried to eat a pizza, or anything else for that matter, that has a whole pineapple ring on it? I mean, do you have really good teeth so that actually you bite into it, you get a piece of pineapple, or do you end up with it looking like some kind of nose ring for your mouth?
Well, exactly. These teeth were designed to just slice through those pineapple rings when I consume my pizzas. It is very messy. And also a pineapple segment or you know, a sort of cross section of pineapple seems to contain a lot of water. We're talking high water content here, aren't we?
Indeed.
And therefore it adds to a fairly slushy in the mouth experience when you're consuming the pizza.
Are you sure you're not talking yourself out of this?
You're right. The more I think about it, the more I'm disgusted by this. Let's hear your take on this. Let's say, Jackie, I came over and I mean, it would be very unusual if I were to bring a pizza to you and say, Jackie, look, I've got you a gift. We're going to have some fine dining this evening. We're going to have a pizza with some pineapple on it. What would you do? Would you call 999?
No, I'd probably just ask if you were staying long.
And then you would grab the pizza and toss it over my shoulder.
No, I would do what you would expect, which is I would be incredibly polite. Mm. I would thank you warmly. Mm. I would tell you that pineapple and whatever else you'd got on there were my absolute favourites. But, oh, I've had a Rye Vita this morning and I couldn't put another thing in me today. And then put it in the bin when you're gone. Do you think pineapple is a weird thing to put in things generally? My son and I shared a curry, very mean, you know, the other week. And we liked it when we're ordering something from the Chinese or the Indian. Mm. We like to go for something we know.
Yes.
And something a bit weird.
Great.
And then share them and, you know, sort of that way, you know, if you don't like the weird one, you're not totally disappointed. Mm. But at the same time, you feel you've had a little bit of an adventure.
I like it.
And I can't remember what it was called, but it had pineapple in it. And quite frankly, we were fighting over the piece of pineapple.
Really?
Yeah. And it was a bit like one of those bits that you get in a tin of pineapples. Thinking, I didn't realise pineapple was such an expensive ingredient.
Yes, just one piece of pineapple. And yet, yeah, when you buy a pizza, it seems to be completely littered in pineapple.
Well, that's probably because not a lot of people want it.
Yes, that's true. There's more pineapple to go round. I agree with you, you know, Jackie. I think that it is a strange addition to a lot of things. Mm. I'm just trying to think of where else perhaps one would come across a pineapple. I love a party treat, an hors d'oeuvre at a party. I don't know if you can call pineapples on a stick with cheese an hors d'oeuvre, but
if you're 12, you can.
If you're 12. If it's a school disco and you're tanked up on pop and you're running around in circles, a pineapple is quite the delicacy.
Although, to be honest, I think we should issue a warning there. Mm. You know, if any parents are out there thinking of doing just that, mm-hmm. Don't forget those sticks are sharp.
Very, very sharp. Yes, you don't want to be...
I mean, I don't know who had the idea of inventing a cocktail stick. I think originally they were supposed to kind of like putting cherries and things into, you know, cocktails and that.
Yes.
But imagine just getting the timing wrong. You've lost an eye.
Or then you hand it to a child. You know, and you
your cocktail.
Yes.
That's very forward thinking of you, Elaine.
Oh, no, not the cocktail. The stick. And they're running around with these sticks.
Yeah.
You're right. So I think, based on all of this, perhaps the pineapple should be an offence on the pizza, because I think I've swerved away from potentially liking
it. I don't think you saw the dangers, did you?
No, and also I perhaps wasn't upfront with myself in realising what a bizarre concoction a pizza with a pineapple on it indeed is.
Yeah, I mean, I think those moments of, you know, self-awareness are really important in life.
Well, Jackie, you have brought me to that very moment here today. Never again will Owain Wynevans consume a pizza which contains any form of pineapple-esque ingredient.
I put you then on notice that the world will be looking out for you. If you are ever sort of ordering any, people will tell me.
Yes.
He lied. He's been sneaking pizza with pineapple.
Okay, well, I hope that Dave, number one, is still listening, because I do think we took quite the diversion away from the pizza pineapple situation, which I love. But do you think we've put that to rest now, or is there more to talk about?
No, I think we'll probably do another 15 minutes on that.
I think we can, actually.
On the other hand, we could save the nation and move on to the second question.
Exactly. We could save the listeners who are thinking, please, no more pineapple chat from those two.
Read the standing orders. Read them and understand them.
Read the standing orders.
Read them and understand them.
Hear me.
Appalling behaviour.
Right, let's try and help Sophie. Okay. Sophie sounds like a nice girl.
Hi, Sophie.
You might have noticed it is so hot at the moment. Mm. Yeah, I wouldn't be quite so hot at the moment if the producer let me keep the fan on.
Oh, now that's very strict, isn't it?
I know, but he says it interferes with the sound.
Well, I suppose, you know, that is a consideration, isn't it? But then, Jackie, as is one's comfort...
Do you think I should put it back on?
I think so. How loud is it? Is it there? Is it there on your desk? Go on, let's have a listen. The producer is now... It's quite loud, isn't it? It's quite loud.
Okay, well, we'll move on then. So, it's quite hot at the moment, says Sophie. She's really quick off the mark here. What is the best way for staying cool at night... And is it okay to ask your partner to sleep in another room? So there's two elements to that, isn't there?
Oh, gosh. Yes. Staying cool is a tricky one. You've got your fan, Jackie. You have your fan there.
Well, I did have, yes.
You did have. Yes. Now it's been banished.
Yes. So I'm eagerly awaiting your tips.
Well, you see, I do this thing where I actually did this just last night, Jackie. This is something that I have done recently. I like to open the loft door because, of course, heat rises. And I open all of the windows upstairs in the house. And thus allowing for the warm air to hopefully escape. And I always like to open something downstairs, like a door or maybe one window, because you want, you know, some sort of draft, don't you?
Do you just live in a kind of tatty, rubbishy house?
Excusez-moi, darling, what do you mean?
Well, you've got all your windows open.
Yes.
And the odd door.
And the odd door, yeah.
And you're not worried about anybody coming in and nicking your stuff. Is it just because it's all rubbish?
Oh, absolute rubbish. Honestly, it's just everything, wherever you look, it's just pure tat, darling, pure tat. No, obviously I wouldn't leave my front door open.
Is that the only way burglars come in, the front door?
Yes, they haven't figured out any other ways.
They try the front door and found it's locked. Right, I have to try a different property now.
Oh, actually, Jackie, you know what? One thing I didn't explain here is, in the setup to this solution,
right,
is that I don't leave these things open then all night.
Ah.
So I
makes a big difference.
It does. I would leave the loft door open if it's really warm, because our loft is sealed.
Well, I mean... That sounds like good advice, except that we were once burgled.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Would you like to know how they got into the house?
Oh, no. Go on.
And it wasn't because I followed Owain's tips and left the doors in. They took the tiles off the roof.
No. Really?
Yes, came in through the roof.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, in that case...
So, nation beware.
Yes. Well, Jackie, I think maybe the tip that I just gave you, I will no longer embrace, because I will keep my loft door sealed and locked.
Well, I say, it was a new one to me. I've never heard anybody taking the tiles off the roof and coming in that way. And please don't think this isn't a suggestion for the burglars who've tried Owain's first front door.
No, absolutely.
And been unsuccessful.
Did they come to your house with some sort of angle grinder, Jackie? I'm intrigued.
It was quite incredible.
Wow.
But I think your suggestion about, you know, kind of cool cloth and things.
Absolutely.
Like, really good advice. But the second part, which I think is really more controversial, which is it okay to kick your partner out of bed and ask them to sleep in another room?
I think that's okay. However, I do think it's got to be really warm in order to get to that place. What do you think? Is that something you would consider?
I mean, it's certainly something I would consider. But then again, I have been married for 37 years, so that's kind of okay.
Yeah.
You know, so we have plenty of time to have made up for that.
Absolutely.
But like, if you've only just kind of moved in last week.
Yes, that could be awkward, couldn't it?
Yeah. I'm thinking just get a fan.
Get a fan, like Jackie Weaver. Get the fan. Don't use it whilst you're recording your podcast, but most certainly use it if it's warm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, Jackie, I do think it depends on the, you know, the standard of the secondary bed in your house.
Okay. Right.
If there is a, you know, a decent spare bedroom, I think fine. But not everybody has that. So if one had to sleep on a, let's say, a sofa or maybe even the floor, I think that would make me hesitate before.
Yeah, I think we have problems in this relationship if we're asking somebody else to sleep on the floor so
yes,
we're more
you're
comfortable.
Right.
Yeah.
Also, Jackie, do we think perhaps this is Sophie's problem and maybe she should be the one who, you know, moves to another room if she's the one who's uncomfortable? Just putting it out there.
Tell you what, I'll give you Sophie's email.
Okay.
And you can suggest that because I'm just not going there.
Okay, because that might be a recipe for disaster. Well, I mean, Sophie's the one who wants to kick her other half out of bed when she's too warm. One might think that's a touch selfish. I'm not saying she is, but potentially.
I'm going to give her your email address. Let's see if we're on safer ground with this one away. Franklin. Now there's a name with presence.
Now that's a spectacular name, isn't it? Hello, Franklin.
I think you're going to be disappointed with the question.
Oh, no. Okay, let's see.
Brown sauce or ketchup in the fridge or in the cupboard?
Oh, Jackie, that is a question. I think in the cupboard, personally.
I mean, apart from anything else, if you're not getting through this brown or ketchup before it's gone off, what are you buying it for?
Absolutely.
You know, are you just buying it to impress the neighbours? You know, mm-hmm. People know that you now use Heinz, you know.
I agree. You know, it's not an item of decoration.
No.
This is a piece of food, essentially.
Yep.
It's a condiment, and I think
some might say an essential part of most meals.
I know people, Jackie, who will always have to have it on the table, and they'll have it with their Sunday dinner and everything. Where are you on the ketchup storage front?
Definitely in the cupboard. Doesn't last long enough to need to be in the fridge for us. And in our household, there are just rules, as you might imagine, for what goes with what.
I mean,
some things have to have red sauce. Other things have to have brown sauce. Mm. It's simple.
Can you talk me through very quickly some of those rules? Let's say, what would you most certainly put red sauce with, but you wouldn't even consider even showing the brown sauce that meal?
You're having egg on toast.
Mm.
Okay. First of all, you eat the yellow bit, mm-hmm. or yolk, as some posh people call it.
I think it's known as that as well.
Now, you eat that separate with, when I say nothing on, I mean no condiments.
Okay.
You don't have to get undressed to eat it, is my point.
Fair enough.
And you can put a bit of salt on if you like, mm-hmm. but not essential.
Bit of seasoning.
And then the white bit, slathered in brown sauce.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tomato wouldn't do it.
There is something about an egg with brown sauce, I agree.
But if it's a scrambled egg...
Oh, yeah. What do you do then?
Has to be red sauce.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I wasn't expecting it to be quite that specific.
So, I don't know where the rules came from, but they are very strict. So, I don't know what other people call it. We call it brown beef. You know, we have mince. Mince beef.
Oh, like yeah, it's like
yeah.
Mince, yeah.
Mince. Brown sauce.
What in the mince?
No, on it. So, like a layer over the top.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So almost like, oh, actually, no, nothing. Like, I was going to say almost like a lasagna, just without the pasta and the sauce. But there are many more components that make up a lasagna. So ignore that.
Could I ask you to be respectful to Jackie Weaver, please?
Dawn wants to know, is procrastination all bad? I mean, I think this is leading the witness, isn't it?
Mm.
First of all, is it bad?
I don't think it's bad, because I think sometimes you just need to take some time out to not do anything and stare into the abyss and think. Because thinking is important, Jackie, don't you think?
No.
No?
No.
What, you don't like to think?
I think we overthink things terribly.
Maybe. You know?
And it ends up leaving a whole nation of people looking like rabbits in headlights.
I am guilty, I think, of sometimes.
Some decisions do need thought, but others, like saying to my husband, what would you like for tea, really doesn't need 5 minutes thought.
No, you're right. Does he tend to take that long?
Probably longer if allowed.
Really?
Yeah, we start with what would you like for tea? And that's just rabbit in headlights.
I am probably quite similar to your husband in that I find it very difficult to make a decision, especially a food-based decision. I like to have options, and if my other half is, you know, as you were just suggesting there, in that situation, if he's putting some ideas forward for food, I find it very hard to give an answer because I would always think that I've made the wrong decision.
I think he and I should have a chat.
I think you'd get on very well. I really do. Mm.
I think I could help him a lot with this. Several years more experience dealing with the issue. I don't think procrastination is all bad, though. I mean, I know I'm one of those people who likes to empty their email box, inbox every day. I get kind of like really anxious if there's ones hanging around.
What was our friend's name? Dawn, wasn't it?
Dawn.
Do we know if Dawn likes to procrastinate, as she said?
I don't think she does, because she got up off her and wrote us a question.
Well, or maybe, Jackie, maybe Dawn did think about emailing you, but then put it off and then came back to it. I would like to know the window of Dawn thinking she's going to do this and Dawn doing it, and how much thought was in the middle, and did she put it off? Is that too much to ask?
Can I ask you a personal question?
Go on, darling. Of course you can.
I'm kind of getting this sense that you really like to be on firm ground with things. You know, you want to look behind the question, understand it, understand the motivation, etc. What drew you to your present career? Which does not seem terribly certain at all.
Oh, my goodness, you're completely right. I mean, and also, coming from a background of journalism, where you have to get the facts right, you know, of course, that is what journalism is based on. And then moving into meteorology, where, you know, there's a lot more uncertainty about the fact in hand. I still struggle with that sometimes, you know. I do still struggle with that.
People must say to you, I mean, that often I'm kind of, makes me smile when people are kind of asking questions about the weather, and I think, well, why don't you just look out the window
and just see what it's doing. Yeah.
You know, is it going to rain today? You know. Well,
anyway.
Almost done.
Oh, I'm loving this, Jackie, by the way. I'm having a great time here.
Jealous, John. Hi, Wayne. I noticed you always seem to be in a suit. Do you think men always look better in suits?
Oh,
no.
Now. Oh, you're shaking your head.
Oh, not all men in all suits.
All right, I see.
Yeah,
Well, You know, I love a suit, Jackie, and I wear a suit every single day. I now even wear a suit when I'm playing the drums because it's something I like to do. But I don't spend very much, you know, none of these are very expensive suits at all. But I think a suit that fits you well, and it can be off the peg, it doesn't have to be bespoke. None of my suits are bespoke. I think a suit that fits you well always looks good.
See, I think they're a bit like women's hats.
Mm.
There are some women, my mother-in-law was one of them, that could actually put a plastic bucket, a potty, on her head and it would look like an accessory.
Really? You know, very stylish.
It would look, you know, yeah. Me, I always looked like somebody had just shoved a bucket on my head. it didn't matter what the hat was. It just never... I always felt like a person under a hat rather than a hat on top of a person.
Yes.
And I think there are some men that never look comfortable in suits.
You're right.
Yeah.
And perhaps that's down to the fact that they don't wear suits very often.
Maybe. Maybe. My husband, when he wears a suit, always looks like he's going to a funeral. Not a wedding, but a funeral.
See, I think, Jackie, that there's something about, and this is something I try to do. I think sometimes if you believe you look good in something, I think that sometimes comes across. Because as you say, it's about the confidence, isn't it? But it can be difficult to persuade yourself that you look good in something. You know, if I were to wear, I don't know, a tank top and some short shorts, I know that I wouldn't look good.
I'm not so sure.
Oh, no, Jackie, I am 100% sure.
You I think don't it want could to take see that. Years off you.
Do you think? It would take years off me and it would put years on whoever sees me wearing it.
Love you.
Yeah, so was it George, our...
Jealous John.
Jealous John. Sorry, Jealous John.
Yeah.
I think, personally, I think the answer is yes, but there is a caveat. So, again, it's not a definite answer, isn't it?
Have you been a weatherman long?
I can't be anything else now.
The chairman of the council is the chairman of the council. Chairman of the council is the chairman of the council.
Chairman of the council is the chairman of the council. Final question. Gert Lush.
Hello. Fabulous.
Being a weatherman, Owain, kind of reminding you in case you'd forgotten what you do.
It's always there. Always there.
Well, a helpful reminder there, you know. What gives you high pressure?
Oh, I would say within the world of meteorology, let's start with that one first, it would have to be showers. Because showers are so hard to forecast and they're a nightmare. So you could say that, you know, oh, we're expecting sunny spells and showers today. But people want more detail than that, don't they? Because I don't think that sunny spells and showers is particularly useful for me if I'm going to walk outside with my hair and my suit, for example. You know, I want to know, is it going to be dry for the next 5 minutes?
I mean, I guess any time any weatherman says there are going to be showers, it's like, you know, what, did you just not read your notes today? Because it kind of like covers everything. It might rain, might not. And if it rains, I don't know when. And I don't know
and
when
if
it'll
you throw,
stop. Yeah. A bit of snow in there as well. We've got the lot.
Bit of snow, bit of hail.
Yeah.
If you put sunny spells and showers into the mix, well, you know,
that's
you're covering
it.
All sorts there,
yeah.
Aren't you?
In fact, why do you bother even kind of reading up on it? Why don't you just say that every day? And then you'll be right every day.
Well, because there is a difference between showers and rain and obviously dry weather, and what's happening on the pressure chart will kind of dictate as to which of those things you're likely or less likely to get. So, you know, showers are an actual thing, and you can say, oh, today is going to be a showery day, which would be different to a day that would be, you know, wet and rainy or dry and sunny. So they are different things, but showers are the most frustrating, I would say, to any weather presenter or forecaster.
I mean, I must admit, being of a certain age, I do miss the old, you know, chart of the British Isles. The weatherman or woman used to just stick on stickers. The yes. stickers were quite big, you know.
Yes.
So it was like, you know, it would at least cover about two or three counties. You know, if it was a sunshine, it would cover two or three counties. And I thought, that must have been much easier then.
Oh, yes, absolutely. But I think as time has gone, I love the icons, you know, I think they're great. And as you say, they would just stick them on the map, or they were magnetic or something, weren't they? But people, as we've got the animated graphics now with the moving rain and all sorts, people want more detail, don't they? So I think going back to icons, I think people would be probably upset. Yes, it would be a backward step. And but maybe we can have one day a week where we use the icons.
Get back to the old ways.
Yeah.
Do you find that, you know, it's had a kind of impact on your life in that you no longer can tell the difference between right and left? That must be incredibly difficult.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It is very strange when you have to, you know, when you present the weather, because we don't use an auto cue, so you have to learn all your lines, basically. Yeah, so what you see essentially in the hood of the camera is a... you see yourself, basically. Yep. And it's not actually flipped. It's the right way. But of course, because you're facing it, the orientation is completely different in relation to what you're doing with your hands or your body or whatever. So it's actually... I think it's given me a bit more of a finesse as far as my right and my left is concerned, and my north, my south, my east and west, just because I can do it facing you this way or facing that way, I guess.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Yeah, I've always thought that must be incredibly difficult to do.
Oh, it's so bizarre. I think the weirdest thing, though, Jackie, is that it's given, for me anyway, it's almost given me a very good short-term memory, because you have to remember a lot of stuff every single day.
I just assumed you read it. To be honest,
I think a lot of people do, absolutely. Yeah. But no, we have to, you know, you do all the kind of research yourself. We have forecasters who kind of do the forecast, and then, you know, you chat to them and you interpret things in different ways, and you then have to learn it all. But the next day, you have to forget all of that, because yesterday's forecast is gone, and so the detail will be improved for the following day and whatnot. So that I find very strange. You know, I can learn things short term quite quickly.
I think that's really interesting. I think that was a really, I mean, you might have told many people before, but I think that's a real insight. And I'll definitely look at any weather presenter in a different way, with a lot more respect, I suspect.
Oh, thank you, Jackie.
When I see what they do in the future. Owain, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you this afternoon. It really has.
Oh, Jackie.
And I definitely feel you answered those questions with authority.
I'm so glad. Jackie, this has been such a treat. It's been so lovely to chat to you. Thank you for having me on. And I hope I can come back soon.
I'd love you to. Love you to.
Fabulous.
And that's that. Thank you to Owain, and thank you for listening. If you've been here since the first episode with Jeremy Vine, well done for lasting this long. I'll be taking a summer break, mainly so I can get away from my annoying producer, but I'll be back with a new batch of episodes in the autumn, plus, hopefully, a big announcement. So thank you to my Julie's iPad patrons, Kate Dawes, Helen Rounce, Connor Farley, and Judith Elliott. And a special thank you to Rebecca Dutneil. Thank you for your support this year too. It's been a mad few months, and your comments on Twitter have kept me sane. So, speak soon, and remember, you do have the authority.
She's kicked him out.
Jackie Weaver has the authority.
Your time is up. Subscribe and leave a nice review. Follow at Jackie Weaver Pod on Twitter. Support the show on Patreon. We hope you enjoy. enjoyed the show.